Welcome to the Military One Source podcast. Military One Source is an official program of the Defense Department with tools, information, and resources to help families navigate all aspects of military life. For more information, visit MilitaryOneSource.mil.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Bruce Moody. Last year, the Defense Department issued a new policy that provides 12 weeks of paid, non-chargeable parental leave to service members who have a child through birth, adoption, or long-term foster care. So we're going to talk about that policy today with our guests, and they are Heather and Marine Corps Captain Richard LeCompte. And welcome to the both of you to the podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we were getting ready to record, and you had noted that you guys are a blended family. So I'm curious. Let's just get started. Why don't you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your family?
All right. So my name is Richard, and Heather is my wife. We have, as we said, six kids together through our blended family. We both had previous marriages that, you know, obviously didn't work out. Welcome to the military. And we went to high school together. So kind of found each other again in 2017.
We have two 19-year-old boys. They're like Dumb and Dumber, if you've ever seen that show. Then we have a 15-year-old boy, a 14-year-old girl. Then we had two babies together. So we have a 2.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
She's almost three.
She is almost three.
So I guess I want to compare the two babies, because one was before this new policy and one was after.
Yes.
Yes.
So how do you compare the two?
Kinley was born in January of 22. And during that time, the Defense Department's policy was that we had the 21 days of parental leave for the non-birth-giving parent. And then when Morgan was born, we got the 84 days. So that was the huge difference between the two.
Yeah, it was pretty unique with the differences. So with Kinley, when we only had the 21 days, although we're grateful for the 21 days, it almost wasn't enough, you know?
Yeah, talk about that, because what is the difference in time? What does that do for you, for the baby, for the parents?
Speaking from, obviously, the birth mother, I did have emergency C-sections with both of them. And, you know, I think everybody's situation will be different. So we're all adults, but depending on if it's a vaginal birth versus a C-section, that already has its complications in itself with healing times and processes. So for me, I couldn't drive. I was pretty down afterwards. So chores around the house, picking up the baby, things like that was challenging. So him being home was great, but 3 weeks was almost just about the time that I was kind of feeling like myself again. And then he was back to work. So then I was at home by myself. And then with Morgan, we had the liberty to kind of decide what was better for us and how long did we really need. Since it was our second baby and I had a C-section, I was a little bit more prepared. I knew what to expect. So we were able to kind of plan that out to see how long did we need in the very beginning. And so for us, not trying to jump the gun, but we took a little bit longer in the beginning. I think we took 4 weeks in the beginning, and then we spread out the rest over the course of a year.
That's a really important aspect of it. And I want to get into that, because 12 weeks is not, you can break that up as you see fit. What was your mindset behind that?
So it's a little bit different, I think, with the billet that you hold and things like that, because I was on Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. I was in command. I had company command at the time. So my battalion and regimental commander kind of gave me that leeway to plan it out over the course of a year, because obviously, like, it's difficult whenever you're in command. You can't be away from your company for, you know, an extended period of time because you had a baby, especially in that aspect. But on the flip side of that, I had Marines inside my company that were having children and things like that. So it really depended on, like, their rank and their billet at work as to how we navigated those 84 days. So it was good for us because we were able to kind of spread it out. We used some, like, over the holiday periods and things like that. So we didn't burn our own annual leave, which was great. So now you look back on it and be like, yeah, I mean, we took 84 days over the course of a year, which is extremely difficult, by the way, for higher ranking Marines, because your job is so demanding. You know, for the younger guys, corporals, Lance Corporal Sergeants, that you can almost afford to let take those 84 days at a time because you can put somebody in their position and take care of that, was a different story. So oftentimes we would allow them to take that total 84 days if they wanted to.
I have a question because I'm retired Navy and I totally get it. You know, the demands, I mean, you could be in the middle of a cruise and you just can't decide that, oh, I need to take leave at this time. So I guess my question to you as a leader, when you're working with Marines, how can a Marine best position themselves to take the fullest advantage of this leave in a way that they feel is what their family needs? How should they communicate with you or their leader?
The way I look at it, you know, being open and honest up front with their leadership, letting them know, like, hey, unfortunately for us, Heather had to have the emergency C-section. So I let my commander know, like, hey, she's going to have the C-section. The plan is to take this many days in advance out front. And then if she feels better, then I'll come back to work a little bit sooner. And they were very understanding about that. And my Marines did a lot of the same things. If they talked to us and like, hey, we would like to spread it out over the course of this time period, we just kind of looked at our calendar and our training event schedule and made a decision together based on the needs of them and their family.
This is really interesting. So as you're talking to your Marines about taking parental leaves, what are the sort of questions that they had for you, or maybe what sort of needs were they wanting to address?
Honestly, it's always going to be different. Some of them just don't really say much and they just take their 84 days because they're like, oh, I'm getting 3 months off of work, you know, but others, senior leaders, have a little bit more understanding of the policy. So, you know, this is still fairly new. So going through it, it's like, you know, how do we together navigate what's best for you and your family? So we would always like remind them, hey, coming from somebody that has multiple children, this is kind of the things that your spouse is going to need.
Yeah. So you have the hindsight or the perspective of someone who is a little more seasoned in uniform, but also seasoned as a dad. For someone who's getting ready for their first child and they have this parental leave, what are some of the things that maybe they should have in mind that maybe they're thinking about some of the things, but what do you think they might be missing when they're making plans?
The importance of helping out your spouse. I think oftentimes we see things all the time on social media pages. Facebook has all these different pages that spouses are involved in and they kind of vent to each other. But, you know, you'll see things. You know what I'm talking about. But you'll
I do. I'm biting my lip.
Yeah, where spouses will complain to other spouses that their husband is not helping with the child and they just come home and they play their video games. And that's kind of concerning, to say the least, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's learning how to be a parent. And it's a new thing, I think. So they're trying to navigate that. But at the same time, it's like, as leaders, how do you teach these young men and women how to be parents? That's a difficult thing because it could have been how they were brought up in their childhood as well, what they saw growing up. So it's kind of second nature to them.
Heather, you're still part of this conversation.
I am. Letting him do his thing.
What would be your advice to Marines and their spouses on the subject of getting ready for their first baby?
You know, I think taking advantage of what the military has to offer. There are classes. There are things that certain naval hospitals offer. There are resources out there that, quite honestly, it took me a while to know and to learn. And that's something that I wish was probably advertised a little bit more. And then budgeting. I think budgeting is super important too. But going back to the resources, there are a lot of things that I was not aware that they offered until, you know, another mom or a fellow spouse would be like, hey, did you know that Naval Hospital offered this class? Well, no, I didn't. And so for me, when Marines find out that they are becoming a parent, I would really tell them to really look into that. You know, see what the Naval Hospital, whenever they go to the hospital to get their checkup, whether they're in the OBGYN clinic or family med, because that's an option too. ask them, ask their providers, you know, what does the hospital have to offer? What classes are there? I would like to focus on like the budgeting issue, depending on their spending habits. Yeah, you're off, but with a baby comes a financial burden. I say burden, but you know what I mean? It's something that they're not used to, and they're not used to having a budget for a whole baby. That's diapers and wipes, formula. If that's the case, it's expensive. And I mean, even for us, we had a baby that was on a special formula. We were spending close to $500 a month in formula. You know, I say we're seasoned. So even that was a little difficult.
You know, one thing that we haven't talked about, and I'm really curious about this, is that the bonding that takes place with baby. And what is the difference between the old policy and the new?
Well, you get more time, that's for sure. So we decided after having Kinley, our 2.5-year-old, and only getting the 3 weeks, we really honed in on family time at home. And that included our older children. So there was certain quality times that we had in the afternoon when the older kids got home from school, that they would come home, get their homework done, and then they got baby time as well, whenever they asked for it. But I do think that that's important because it really sets your family dynamic for the future. So for me, you want to include all of your children. I've done this in the past too, where, you know, sometimes you're just tired and you're just like, no, not right now. The baby's sleeping. But in reality, allowing that time, whether the baby's sleeping, to let your other kids hold them, or skin to skin is also really important. I feel like it really, really helped with the infants, especially with us having preemies too. And that's something that they taught me at Naval. So, you know, we did that. And my older boys, they did it too. So I think it's just having those conversations. And for Richard and I solely, with Kinley, it was a little bit more difficult because, of course, I was giving up every 2 to 3 hours to feed. So you're tired. It's overwhelming. It can be a lot. And so with Richard home, he was able to take over some of those duties when he could. And let me sleep, let me catch back up, let me take a shower, let me eat a good meal, you know, those things. And so with Morgan, with the more time off, we were able to really talk about what that time looked like. So because we had a toddler at the time, what happened for us is I ended up having the baby and feeding her, and then he basically took our toddler. So it was almost like we divided and conquered with kids because that's what ended up happening.
Mm-hmm. You made a really interesting point, which is you were provided certain things to do. For example, the skin-to-skin time. Talk a little bit more, because people are having babies when they're young and maybe they were anticipating having their parents in the home or across town, and now that's just not the case. Having those sorts of resources, there's two aspects of it. There's information, but there's a lot of heart that goes into those programs as well.
Yes.
Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So with the skin to skin, sorry, our babies just woke up. So,
well, you know, that's okay.
So with the skin to skin, we can start on that. And I also worked in pediatrics too. So it's something that they solely believe really helps create the bond between baby and mom, baby and dad. For us, we did no phones, no electronics. And, you know, you just hold the baby. You hold the baby skin to skin. For moms, whether or not you just choose to breastfeed, some moms can, some can't. And that would be another thing too, is not to be discouraged. I've been on both aspects of that topic. Again, Naval has lactation consultants that will also come to your home, or you can make appointments with them. They are wonderful. And it was something that I didn't know previous that they even offered.
And we've got a bunch of links in the program notes. And we have a program called the New Parent Support Program. I just love this program. This one just really stuck out with me. I think because I was introduced to it so early in my career, and I met some of the people. And these are people who will come to your home judgment-free, ready to walk around your home, and they are dressed casually. And there's a reason for that, because they're going to get on their hands and knees and work with you and find, is there an outlet that needs to be covered? Are there cleaning supplies under the sink that maybe need to be moved a bit? They're going to help you, and it is totally non-judgmental, and they are just the warmest, most supportive people. And when they come into your home, you just feel like they are there to help you be a better parent, to just really get the most out of the experience. And the other thing I would say, because sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and really the best place to start would be to call Military OneSource and say, hey, I'm expecting a baby and I have questions and I don't even know how many questions I have. So they will just get you started on the right track. I just welcome any final thoughts from the both of you on being parents in the military. I'll just throw it wide open.
Yeah. Give him just a second because he's actually changing two diapers. So.
Oh, that's awesome. No. We're totally going to wait for that.
Yeah. No. And he's back.
Let me ask you just one last question. So
yeah.
We're talking about working with programs and working within the family. What about neighbors and friends in the immediate physical community?
It can be difficult, but it can also be a blessing. For us, fortunately, has been a blessing when we were in Lejeune. Our best friends, Whitney and Chris, they lived across the street from us. We met them a couple of months after moving in. I just kind of made a post in our neighborhood. It was like, hey, we just moved in. I need friends. Help me. And she was like, well, I'm right across the street. And then it was just, we immediately, as soon as we got to base, we found out we were pregnant with Kinley. And so they, between them, they were there for, yeah, everything, honestly, with both of our babies up until we moved. But finding your community, I found friends within my husband's command, their spouses, and his Marines that he worked with as well. We were fortunate. One of the guys that worked with him in Lejeune also got orders to Pendleton. And guess what? They ended up becoming our neighbors. They just happened to get the house next door. And she's helping us watch Morgan right now. So really being open and joining the communities, I was part of some of the spouses clubs that the base offers. And I met a lot of wonderful women. And I met a lot of seasoned wives. And they were able to help us with things that we didn't know. Because I think that everybody has experienced something different along the way in their journey of being a Marine or a military spouse. But having friends and family in the military, because for us, we are not usually around family.
Yeah. Speaking as a former sailor, I will tell you, if you're new to the military, look around, look at the people around you.
Yep.
You're going to see them again and again.
All the time.
Get to know your neighbors and be nice to them.
Be nice to them. Help, give them a cup of sugar.
Yeah, I mean, totally. But here's my last question. Maybe we can wrap up with this, because whether you're a Marine going to talk to your leadership or you're going to talk to a neighbor just to introduce yourself or to ask for help or just to hang, I think the most difficult things is the first time you reach out, you know, that icebreaker. Maybe you think that other people are having it harder than you and you don't warrant asking for help. So what is your advice to people who are anxious about that first call, that first speaking up and asking for help, or just asking for a cup of coffee?
It can be intimidating. We've all been in that situation. I think just honestly going for it. I mean, just doing it, just reaching out and not being nervous. Because here's the thing is everybody, if they're in the military, they've all seen and they've all had to travel. They've all had to start over. So I think where some people might think that it's super difficult, and it can be, the bottom line is that they've all done it. So, you know, the other spouses are probably thinking the same thing. So for me, I'm a social butterfly, so it comes pretty naturally, you know, at the park, seeing a mom and she's there with her kids, just walking over, hi, and usually that's all it takes. It takes a simple hello, a wave, and just introducing yourself. You know, if they want to, sorry, this is Morgan.
No, don't apologize.
So, if they want to engage, they absolutely will. And honestly, that's how a lot of my friendships have started. It's just
finding common ground.
Yeah. And Richard, from the uniform side of the question, what are your thoughts?
It's a lot of the same. I know, like, for some junior Marines or junior leaders, it's a little bit more intimidating and difficult, obviously, to go and speak to your commanding officer or your leadership. with my MOS specifically in ammo, it's a little bit unique because all the officers in our field came from the enlisted side. You know, we were all warrant officers becoming LDOs. So we have a pretty good understanding of what it's like to be a PFC and a Lance Corporal up and through those junior staff and CO ranks. So having them like navigate how to speak to their leadership, I think was a little bit easier for us to bring them together and get them inducted into the parenthood aspect. You know, I would encourage them, you know, when your baby's born, bring your baby by the office so you know, they can meet everybody because we become a little mini mafia.
But also, I really want to impress upon people, when a service member can focus on the mission, that's a good thing. When they are given a task and their mind is on stuff back home, that's not good. That compromises the people around that service member. So when you speak up, you're really speaking up on behalf of the mission and behalf of your unit, the people you serve with that you know,
right,
the people that you really have bonded with. This is your way of saying, I want to be strong for you. And mm-hmm. one of the ways of being strong for you is to make sure my stuff is taken care of back home. And you can't do it alone. You got to ask for help.
Right. And that's something we harped big on too, was their family care plans. You know, explaining to them what a family care plan was and how it can help you. And it's difficult because the military kind of puts a hard constraint on how far away short-term caregiver can be into a long-term caregiver, you know. They got to be within an hour of being there. And it's like, well, that's kind of difficult.
I'm so glad to have had this conversation with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
Heather and Marine Corps Captain Richard LeCompte, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I want to remind everybody that Military OneSource is an official resource of the Defense Department. If you have a question or a comment about what you heard today, maybe an idea for a podcast in the future, send us a note. We have a link in the podcast notes where you can go ahead and do that. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, because there we go.
Yeah.
You heard it. We cover a wide range of topics to help military families navigate military life. I'm Bruce Moody. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.